goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? Welcome back to another episode of Bison Report Radio. This is a rare one where we're not doing an accompanying video because it's already game day. North Dakota State is headed down for a little round-robin tournament. The Dakota Showcase down at the Sanford Pentagon. All four Division I Dakota schools are going to tip it off, hoop it up, play a little basketball over the next 3 days. In kind of a little bit of a preview of the Summit League tournament, 3 days in Sioux Falls. That sounds kind of familiar. Joining me live in studio is the newest addition to Bison Report. Some of you have maybe read a couple of his articles, breaking some news or just some general stuff. But Sam Westrick is the newest member of the Bison Report team. Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself, your kind of past ties to NDSU and what you hope to bring to the squad.
So yeah, thank you, Ross. I was a student manager on the basketball team for about 3 years. Went to NDSU. I spent a lot of time with Coach Richmond, Coach Brown, current director of basketball ops, Spencer Wilker, and a lot of the guys too. So while I still know a good deal of the guys that are on the roster, the new guys I haven't met yet, obviously COVID.
Right.
Probably not a good idea, but yeah. So I've been around the NDSU program for a little while, and it's cool that I got the opportunity to kind of cover them from a different light now.
Absolutely. And joining us far away in Colorado for some godforsaken reason is the great two-time North Dakota State men's basketball captain, Nate Zastro. Nate, how are we doing, buddy?
Doing good. Weather's a little getting a little cold. We got a snowstorm coming tonight. So I'm hoping to get out of here Saturday, but there's supposed to be a big one coming. So we'll see. Good thing I can still watch some basketball.
I was disappointed with the late tip-off times. I thought maybe we'd get some golf in Sioux Falls. Played golf in Leonard, North Dakota on Tuesday. Got randomly paired up with North Dakota State baseball coach Todd Brown, women's golf coach Matt Johnson, and softball coach Darren Mueller. And now we're going 180 miles south, and I can't even play golf because we got highs of 35, 7 a.m. tip-off times. I'm not sure what we're going to do during the day, but I'm sure we will find a way. Nate, what was your just kind of general reaction to those first four games? North Dakota State starting out 0-4, but I mean, it doesn't feel like 0-4, does it?
No, and it was kind of expected. I mean, they lost a lot of guys. I mean, you don't just replace Vinny and Tyson and Jared and Chris. We knew it wasn't going to happen. We knew it was going to take some time. Obviously, they have some experience back at the forward spot, but guard spot, I think, is obviously because I was a guard, but that's just me being a little biased. But the guard position, you need guys that can make plays, especially at the end of the shot clock. NDSU's style of play requires the guards to maybe make some plays at the end of the shot clock, which they had Vinny the last 2 years. Obviously, Donald Carter hasn't played yet. I think he can be kind of that type of player, maybe not making plays with his shot, but getting others involved. But like you said, they played some really tough opponents, and they did show some spots where they can build on. And the big thing that you can take away is they played hard throughout every game, and they just really didn't hit shots. I mean, they're only shooting 34% from the floor. Some of it has to do with the competition they were playing. Some of it has to do with just knocking down shots. So I think they have some building blocks to go forward. They average over 12 offensive rebounds a game against Nebraska, Creighton, and Kansas. I mean, that's just unheard of. Kansas is one of the best rebounding teams in the country. And they definitely held their own, which just shows that it's a group of guys that want to win, and I think they're going to continue to get better.
And then, Ross, could you talk a little bit about the Kansas game? I mean, you definitely never want to lose a game, but, man, was that not a positive?
Yeah, I mentioned that, you know, we all spoke to Dave and his availability yesterday. And I thought, man, you go from like the first 8 minutes of Nevada where I'm getting text messages like, boy, this team's going to average 55 points a game. What are they going to do late in the clock? Stuff like that, to they should have beat Kansas, because they should have beat Kansas. I mean, that they played better than Kansas did for 36 minutes of that game, got outscored 7-0 at the end. You know, probably got home cooked a little bit. But look, Freddie said it on Twitter to Nate and I. You get that late in the game, the little school's not getting the help from Stripes. It's not happening. So they had to go out and win the game. They didn't. Rocky misses the point-blank layup. I don't know what the hell happened with Malik on that offensive foul. But you can't go out and lose the game, and that's kind of what they did. But to just be in a game, I mean, Kansas turned around and beat Creighton. Like, this is – they're a Final Four-looking team. And for North Dakota State to – I don't know, not lose that game by 30 kind of puts them immediately like in a position that I didn't think they could be in, as far as I think they can be one of the top two teams in the Summit League if they continue to progress. Any team that can hang with Kansas can win the Summit League. And I didn't know kind of after Nevada and certainly after Nebraska, if this was like grab the four or the five seed in the Summit and then try and have some Dave magic in Sioux Falls in March.
Yeah, and then, you know, you look at talking about guys stepping up. Nate, I want to kind of talk to you about this, and then Ross can kind of come in as well. What have you thought about Grant Nelson so far? Because we've heard from the coaching staff that this kid was going to be more than advertised, and he's come in and blocked shots. He's got a great handle. What have you thought about Grant Nelson so far?
I mean, he looks comfortable out there. Now, I'm not going to say he doesn't look like a freshman, because he definitely looks like a freshman, but he's not really playing like one. The composure he's had, and the thing with Grant is you're going to look at box scores and be like, well, he's a freshman. He's not putting up a lot of stats, but he's altering the game. Like he's making plays in the game, whether it's altering shots, blocking shots, crashing the glass, getting a tip up on an offensive rebound. And I think the scoring side of it's going to come as he continues to get comfortable. I mean, handling the ball as a 6'9" guy, as a freshman, I mean, you're not really thinking I'm going to be aggressive getting to the basket. I'm just kind of feeling my way, and he's definitely feeling his way a little bit, but there's times where he's just going, making a move to the basket, spin move, and trying to finish over 6'10" guys from Kansas. And I'm really impressed with what I've seen from him through four games. Obviously, he still has a long way to go. He's going to be deadly once he knocks down some threes, because you're going to have to close out on him, and he's got the ball handling ability and length to be able to drive by you. And using his athleticism, I mean, you've been able to see that through the first four games, and I think there's only good things to come from him.
Yeah, I mean, his length, and that's what I am really excited about, you know, this weekend. We'll get into this weekend in a second, but I tell you what, man, there are going to be folks, because he's playing the four. I mean, when he's out there, he's playing. Tyler Witts is playing the five, or there are times, rare so they may be, but there are times when Rocky is playing the five. I have not seen them play a lineup where Grant is the center. It's coming. Like, they will do that. They'll go small ball, if you can even call it small, because Grant's 6'10". But there are four men in the Summit League that are not only going to give up 4 inches to Sam, they're also going to, or to Grant, they're going to be less skilled than he is. He is extremely gifted, and you've got backup fours in the Summit League that are 6'6", 6'7", and kind of just there to play defense and rebound the ball. I think he's going to have a tremendous matchup advantage, and then as his career goes on, he's going to be giving it to starting fours in the Summit League, you know? He's going to be creating problems, but I thought that Kansas game, and I know, look, there weren't 12,000 screaming Jayhawk fans in the fog. But it was still Fog Allen. It was still KU. They're the Big 12 preseason champs. They are probably the best team in the Big 12. They're the best team NDSU will face all year. And he was in there altering plays in the second half of the game. I think the preseason hype for Grant Nelson has certainly – no. Has he gone out and had a 14-7? No. But the minutes aren't there for that. And the flashes, which you're looking for with a guy like him, have been great. I think, as Richmond said yesterday in the availability, it would have been so good for this team to play a exhibition game against Concordia, and then go play Indiana State and play some of these teams that were actually on their schedule instead of just, hey, go play Nevada, who was top 10 in the country 2 years ago, then go play Nebraska that Fred Hoiberg is rebuilding with transfers, and then just go play two of the top 10 teams in the entire country. No warm-up, no mid-major opponents, nothing. I think that has played, obviously, into this 0-4 start, but to me, the performance against Kansas has them in an upward trajectory, and I think, yeah, it says 0-4 next to their name, but it's just not the same thing. What did you think, Nate, of Des McKinney playing crunch time minutes against KU? Was that, to you, was that born out of, like, trust, or did he earn that, or was that foul trouble related? How do you think that happened, and what did you think? I thought Des McKinney grew up a lot against Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, he was aggressive to the basket, obviously forced a couple that probably weren't there, but I think him being comfortable would be a great backup point guard once Donald comes back. Obviously, Sam doesn't quite want to give up that point guard position, but as we've seen, I mean, it's not really Sam's natural position. He can still make plays with the ball, not playing the point. But him playing late in the game, I think that's just kind of a feel thing from Richmond, which we haven't really seen in the past. He kind of just goes with his guys because he's had his guys. This year, obviously, like you said, without the exhibition games, you don't really have a rotation. You're kind of trying to figure that out through these first couple games. I definitely think he earned some trust going forward. But freshmen, I mean, their year is going to be kind of an up and down year. Hopefully it's more up than down. But it was good to see him get those late minutes. I mean, I think we might have even had three freshmen on the floor at the same time in crunch time. I think it might have been just Desmond and Grant. But that just shows kind of where he feels they're at with the trust with them, and that doesn't happen always with freshmen.
And then, Ross, to go kind of off of what Nate was just talking about, what have you thought about Sam Griesel at the point right now?
Well, it's interesting, and you know, I think part of what Nate's saying too is they're 10 guys deep. When Donald comes back, they might be 11 guys deep. I think Dave has to use this tournament, and I mean, then this tournament's kind of it, except for the TCU game, as their development phase. Then it's over. There's no more developing. You have to go to Macomb and win two games. That's what they have to do. And they're trying to figure out, in my opinion, who their best five are, who their crunch time five are, what does their rotation look like. And they've got a lot of guys, in my opinion, that are on kind of like the same talent level. There's no one that goes in there and you're like, oh crap, they put in this guy. You know, it's like, okay, Dez is in. Let's see what he can do. Okay, Jarius is in. Okay, Jax is in. Now we're going to see some offense. Okay, you know, Malik is in. Now we got length. They're a deep team. I think they're trying to find out what their best five is. And right now, the question is, does that mean Sam Griesel at the point? It did not against Nevada. It did not against Nebraska. And he had five turnovers against Kansas. That's Kansas. I have seen a little bit of development from Sam at the one. He says he loves playing the one. What I think the issue is, and we'll get into it in a second, is how do you inject Donald Carter? Does it even work? Right now, Sam at the one, I think you could see, if you remember Taylor Braun, because I know Nate does, when LA was the point guard and they didn't have, Nate graduates and now they don't have a backup point guard for that great squad, that 13-14 NDSU squad, LA was the point guard and probably paid 35 minutes a game. For the 5 minutes he wasn't in the game, Taylor Braun was the point guard. And I think if, like, the best version of the Bison have Donald Carter as the starting point guard, is Donald Carter playing 25 minutes a point guard and Sam Griesel playing the other 15. I think that makes a little sense. Nate, could you see something looks like that in this team's future?
Yeah, and if he trusts Desmond, I mean, Desmond can play some backup point too. So if it's Donald 25, Desmond 10, and you throw Sam in 5 minutes at the point guard as well, plus his other positions that he can play. But yeah, I think you're exactly right that this weekend, I know you're playing conference teams. You want to beat all the Dakota teams if you can, but with them not counting as conference games, you still need to use these as non-conference games where, yes, they matter, but like we've always said, the Summit League's sending one team to the NCAA tournament. So they need to use these games to find a rhythm, find some type of rotation to go into the conference season, because that's ultimately what they need to do, is they need to be the best team in March. And you can only do that by figuring out what you're going to be doing in November, December, getting ready for conference season. Your first goal is a regular season title, and then it's a tournament title. And you can only do that by kind of slowly getting better and figuring out what you're going to do. Sam has looked comfortable at times. And like you said, those Nevada-Nebraska games, he wasn't really comfortable. I mean, he was getting in the lane, kind of had some unforced turnovers. You can tell that he's not that much of a natural at the position, but he has grown more comfortable, and he is a decent ball handler. I mean, he hasn't had any trouble really bringing the ball up the floor when teams have tried to pressure. But late shot clock, hopefully Sam is a decent playmaker, but I think that that's more for Donald to do, and I think he can set guys up a little bit better.
And for me, like, this is such a development piece, in my opinion, for Sam. I think he's going to be a better four having played point guard for four games against high majors. I think his ability to pass, you know, if he's going to be heading downhill, you could maybe post him up. I mean, that's one thing Dave mentioned too, is just how damn long they are when Sam is the point guard. If you're playing a mid-major team where the point guard's 5'10 and the shooting guard's 6'2, and believe me, those exist, they're going to have a hell of a time dealing with Sam Griesel, Malik Carton-Hayes, and Jarius Cook switching 1, 2, and 3 up top. They're just not going to be able to get around them. And that's why you've seen phenomenal defensive performances against Creighton and against Kansas. Kansas and Creighton are going to score a lot more points against other teams than they did against NDSU. You're going to find some of that stuff out, I think, in the Summit League, where mid-major schools are really going to struggle with NDSU's length, their athleticism, their ability to play defense. And I think that, Nate, is where I got to ask you, because I don't know. I mean, I've talked to a few folks, and there are people that are concerned that Donald may not make it this year. I mean, he's not where they thought they'd be physically, or at least on the early end of the timeline, as far as what, you know, we projected at the beginning. He's still sore in the leg. They don't want to push him and have him hurt, you know, the other leg or whatever. And with all of that considered, you're still considering putting in a guy who hasn't practiced 5-on-5 yet, who hasn't run the offense in crunch time, and you're flat out running out of non-conference games. I mean, if Donald doesn't play against TCU, his first ever game is going to be in a Summit League situation where a win or a loss could mean seeding in Sioux Falls. What are some of the difficulties that are facing right now this program trying to integrate a point guard that has no experience and maybe and probably is the most gifted point guard on the roster, but what's that integration period? I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, I don't think he's integrated right into the starting lineup unless he has shown that in practice. I don't see that. Maybe not all year. I mean, maybe he's a guy where Sam starts at the point and he can come in and provide backup minutes and they kind of split those point guard duties 20-20. I don't know. But it is tough bringing back an injured guy. I know my junior year, Taylor Braun, broke his foot. He came back for the Omaha game right before the Summit League tournament to kind of get himself comfortable. And it took that whole game. And then I don't think till like the semifinals, Taylor really wasn't comfortable until then. And then we kind of picked up where we left off. There's nothing to pick up where you left off with Donald. I mean, he's completely new. So I think he'll be integrated in slowly but surely. I don't think you're going to go out there and throw him out there for 25, 30 minutes anytime soon. I think you're right. He is our best point guard piece, and it'll be interesting to see what Richmond does with him, especially going forward. Hopefully he can get a couple non-conference games in here. It's tough with 3 games in 3 days. Hopefully TCU kind of gets his feet wet a little bit before we go to Western.
Yeah, it would be big, I think. And if Western's bad again, which they very well may be, Kobe Webster transferred out. They, you know, are going with guy, the own Green Bay coach. Who in the world is it? What's the name of that guy?
Rob Jeter.
There you go. You knew that. Rob Jeter. Your guy, Rob Jeter. Your favorite upper Midwest, mid-major college basketball coach, Rob Jeter. I don't know. I mean, maybe he brought in some gunners, but there's a chance that Western's bad. You know, and if Western's bad, then you kind of treat it as another non-conference game. You go and get your 2 wins, but you have the opportunity to open up the bench a little bit. I think 10 or 12 minutes for Donald at TCU would be so valuable, especially the lead up there. We'll see where he's at physically. I mean, if he's not playing 5-on-5 on the 10th of December, I have a hard time believing he's going to be playing TCU on the 22nd, but who knows? We are certainly not doctors here. What are you thinking about, Nate, on the South Dakota State game? You have had a chance, I think, to probably watch more of their non-conference stuff than I have. What do you see?
I mean, on paper and what I've seen, I mean, they're the best team in the Summit League right now, and it hurts me to say it, but they really are. Noah Friedel's playing at a really high level, averaging 19 a game. And then kind of a guy who he only played 20 minutes a game last year, but Baylor Shearman, I hope I'm saying that right, shooting 53% from the three and averaging 15 a game, and he only played 20 minutes a game last year, was a kind of a role player. I think the big thing with SDSU is they kind of ride their starters. I mean, they got four guys averaging over 30 minutes a game, and they've kind of went through the gauntlet here to start. Watched them against West Virginia. They held their own, were in it pretty much the whole way. They can never really get past West Virginia being up 68 points. They go and pound Craig Smith by 24 at Utah State. Then they lost to St. Mary's. Then they beat a really good Bradley team who's, I'm not sure if they were picked to win the Missouri Valley, but they've definitely won it a few times recently. Then obviously they beat Iowa State, and I'm not too sure how good Iowa State is, but it's still a Big 12 team. So they have the talent. I think NDSU matches up really well with them inside. The big surprise here with them early on is Dentlinger. He started every game, but he's only playing 18 minutes a game, and he was a big problem for NDSU last year. I think Rocky's going to kind of take pride in that this year, and I'd probably expect to see maybe Sam on Wilson, or actually Edie on Wilson to start, and then Griesel on Friedel. But I think inside we match up well. The guard spot's going to be where the game's won and lost. I think SDSU does have a bit better guards, just more experienced guards, with Arians and Friedel. But it'll be an interesting matchup. I mean, if NDSU can hit shots early like they did against Kansas, it's going to be a grind. It's going to be your typical NDSU-SDSU game down to the wire. Neutral site definitely helps. I'm not sure if there's going to be fans there or not. If there are, there's not going to be many. And, yeah, I mean, on paper, SDSU is the better team right now. So we'll see what NDSU can do. But I'm most interested in seeing NDSU carrying over the Kansas game into this one.
And Ross, and SDSU is in kind of a similar place that we are right now, where we don't really have a true point guard yet. They don't really have a true point guard yet. So how do you think like the 5-on-5 matches up with two non-real true point guards?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this certainly isn't George Marshall versus Lawrence Alexander. It's not David Jenkins Jr. versus Vinny Shahid. It's not one of those matchups. They've kind of had, I think, Alex Arians do most of bringing the ball up, but he's a wing. You know, he would have been a wing if they would have recruited a point guard, or if David Jenkins would have stayed. There's no way Arians is playing point guard. And so you've got two teams that kind of go about it in a similar way, with the difference being, you know, that Doug Wilson is a Summit League Player of the Year caliber guy, and that Friedel is a little bit more advanced than Notech or Skunberg or any of like the gunners that North Dakota State have. And the other thing is Hendo's giving him the full green light. Like, you never know what Bowden or Jax might look like with the offense kind of run around them, but it's just not NDSU system. That's fine. I mean, Dave's been more successful than Hendo in their 2 years together in the league. It'll be interesting to watch how this one plays out. And I think Nate made the great point. And I think if North Dakota State is going to win this game, or kind of, if you will, cover the spread, which I think is like 8, you know, if they're really going to make this like a competitive loss, because you go look at after, I tell you what, man, after the Jax hung with West Virginia and beat the crap out of Utah State, and after NDSU started their season the way they did with Nevada and Nebraska, I would have said Jax by 16. Like, they'll, NDSU can develop and try to get better and, you know, maybe give them a run, or maybe the Jax choke in Sioux Falls for the third straight year. But as far as tonight in Sioux Falls, Jacks by a billion, because they're at a different place than NDSU is. Then you see the Bison hang with Kansas, and then you start to talk yourself into like, okay, how does this work if the Bison are going to pull the upset? Well, it works two ways. South Dakota State just doesn't make contested shots, because there's nothing Kansas can do offensively that Kansas can't do offensively that SDSU can. South Dakota State is not a better offensive team than Kansas. I'm sorry. It's just not, it's not true. So if you can defend the Jacks the way you defended the Jayhawks and they miss contested shots, you have a chance. The other thing, as Nate mentioned, is that they're thin. They're top heavy. If the Bison can, you know, take down Sam and Rocky and Tyree to 31 minutes, 30 minutes, 29 minutes, and really let their bench roll, they're going to be fresher. Everybody's going to be more fresh at the end of the game. They can kind of come at the Jacks in waves of 9 or 10 guys. You know, of course, Dez off the bench, Jacks off the bench, Grant Nelson off the bench, Witt's off the bench. They can keep throwing, you know, multiple bodies at the Jackrabbits, maybe get up and down the floor a little bit more than Dave would normally have the crew do. He would like to normally slow it down. But if he can get up and down and transition maybe a little bit, they can wear the Jackrabbits out just because they are deeper with talent than I think South Dakota State is. Nate, do you see them trying to go that way, or is Richmond ball kind of Richmond ball at this point?
I think he's still going to do what they do. I agree that it might be good to go up and down with them. I mean, their bench top scorer is 5 points a game, and he's playing 17 minutes a game. They, especially in this type of game, I don't see them changing what they're going to do. Their guys are going to play, four or five starters are going to play 30 minutes. And the way Dentlinger played against NDSU last year, he's probably going to get in the 25, 30 minutes again as well. The pace of the game, I think, still favors NDSU with a slower pace. SDSU wants to score. They want to shoot threes. They want to be able to do what they do offensively. I think if NDSU, like I said a little earlier, if they hit shots early, I mean, SDSU is shooting a higher percentage from three than their overall field goal percentage. Well, that's because they've been in a bunch of games. If they play from behind, those shots aren't falling as much. St. Mary's got up on them early, and shots didn't seem to fall as easy when you're losing. So I think if NDSU gets up off to an early lead, I think they can definitely pull this one out. It's going to take a full team effort. They're going to have to take care of the ball, which they've struggled with in their first three games. They did a little bit better against Kansas. But yeah, I think NDSU, it favors them in a more grinded out game, where SDSU has to hit some pressure shots.
So even with the difference in depth, you're not trying to get this game into the high 70s.
If it was me, yes. I don't see Richmond changing his style for one game that's not going to count towards the conference schedule.
Sure.
Yeah, NDSU for sure has more depth, more guys that have played. I mean, SDSU has about four. I mean, they do play about nine guys, but they're not playing more than 15 minutes a game. NDSU kind of has just a bunch of guys in that 15 to 25 range, like 9 or 10 guys. So, yeah, if it was me, I'm trying to run, get them tired. Your legs are tired shooting late in the game. They're not falling. So, I mean, it's an adjustment you make, but yeah, I don't see Dave adjusting to a faster paced game. I think he's comfortable with his experienced guys down the stretch, in a more grinded out game where it comes down to stops and getting a bucket.
Yeah, and that's one thing too that coach has always said to us in availability is just like, this is about North Dakota State. And what he means by that is the Bison are going to play Bison basketball, and if they do it really well, it's going to be good enough to beat most teams. And he's been right more than he's been wrong. I mean, you look at their record in March and frankly just where they've finished the last couple of years, either at the top of the league or right up near the top without having those down seasons, Dave's going to play Dave ball. And even with a super deep team, I think Nate's right. Nate, give me a score prediction tonight.
I went with my heart on this one. I got 73-70 NDSU.
Yeah. I'm not going there with you, I don't think. I've got, let's go 68-58 Jackrabbits. I think the Bison will get them once this year. Specifically, you know, I think they'll probably split or maybe sweep, but I think they'll get one of the ones that are in the Shack. Both of the regular season conference contests between these two clubs are in Fargo, which is an important distinction. I mean, the Bison happen to have the number one and the number two preseason Summit League teams this year at their place. So it's a big deal. You go 3-1 against Oral and South Dakota State in Fargo, and you're at a good spot. Yeah, I think I just don't. I'd love to say the Bison are going to win, but I'll believe it when I see it. I know what happened against Kansas. South Dakota State, though, they're bringing back basically everything that they did really well last season, and the Bison are certainly still learning how to be this version of the Bison.
So, Ross, what with SDSU, with USD, and then I guess UND, they don't look great so far, but what can we take away? What can we learn from this weekend?
Well, I think you're going to find out a couple of things, and I'll kind of kick this question to Nate as well, but I think you're going to learn a couple of things. First thing is first. Is Sam Griesel going to be the point guard this season? I know that sounds dumb, but like if things go really well this weekend for him specifically playing that spot, it does give them tremendous defensive versatility. It gives them tremendous length. And with the exception of TCU, which again, it would be great for Coach to get his first Power 5 win. I would love that for him, but it's not incredibly important whether they beat TCU or not. It's just not important. Beating Kansas at the Fog would have been a program boosting win. They beat TCU in Dallas. People think, oh, cool. You know, it's not going to be the same thing as beating KU would have been. So that's their last shot, non-conference. They're going to find out what they look like against peer institutions with Sam Griesel playing point guard. And if it's a close loss to SDSU and wins over USD and UND and the turnovers are in single digits and Sam looks good and they can be super nasty defensively and rebound the hell out of the ball, then I think that you slow play Donald Carter and you don't worry about, because he's going to have a waiver of competition anyway. I mean, this season is basically not a throwaway. These kids, it matters. But with COVID stuff, they all have the opportunity to come back. So I think then you can be incredibly conservative and take care of Donald's health and take care, frankly, of the health of the team, because you're not panicking. Oh, my God, we have to move Sam back to the four. And the other thing that I think you're really going to find out, because I would guess that both South Dakota State and USD are going to be close games. They might blow out UND because they look a little rough. But if those games are both close, you saw who he trusted in crunch time against Kansas. Who does he trust in crunch time against South Dakota State and USD? Those are the two big questions for me that could be answered this weekend. Is Sam going to be the point guard? And who are the crunch time five? Who does he want to roll with when it gets real serious in a game he's trying to win? Nate, what are you looking for out of these three nights to really learn and understand?
I agree with the Sam comment. You kind of got to get a plan going forward. You got four games to figure it out before you hit conference play. I want to see this team just continue to get better. I think Coach Richmond uses this saying a lot, especially early on in the year. If we just get a little bit better each day, we're going to be to where we want to be in March. And I think with a younger team, less experienced team than you've had in the past, getting a little bit better each day is something that needs to happen. We don't want to see kind of a roller coaster of up and downs throughout the year, which we might see. But if they can just focus on getting a little bit better each day, I think that they're going to be in a good position come March. And I think the Kansas game was a good indication of that. That game still happened in early December. But like you said, I think we were talking about Grant. We saw glimpses of what they can be. We kind of want to see them get to that full product sooner than later. But it all starts with just getting a little bit better each day. So just seeing them progress from that Kansas game, competing tonight, and competing every game. But I think tonight will be a good indication of if that Kansas game was kind of a little fluky. It was just kind of a one game where they played really well and Kansas played really bad, or if this team is really going to take that step forward heading into conference season.
All right, Bison Report Radio brought to you today by Rise Training and Fitness. Guys, they're doing an awesome job. Rise Training and Fitness was founded by two local athletes, North Dakota State football legend Chase Morlock and Minnesota State University Moorhead basketball star Aaron Lean have put together a really, really cool operation over there in Moorhead, both for high school and college athletes trying to get better at their specific sport, but also for adults to kind of get back in shape and, of course, extend their lives. Right now, the state of Minnesota not letting them do in-person stuff, so they've done a phenomenal job with their Elevate app. They are doing some really, really cool stuff online, workouts that you can do right there in your house. And they just have really been kicking ass on the virtual stuff, trying to keep people in shape, you know, trying to beat this pandemic, try to stay inside, stay safe, and, you know, not gain the quarantine 15, because that happens, Sam. It absolutely happens. Nate, buddy, we appreciate your time today. Sam and I will be covering this Dakota Showcase live for you down in Sioux Falls. So look for some video content after the game. Look for a USD preview tomorrow. Maybe we'll be able to snag Nate. Maybe we won't. But we're going to be live down in Sioux Falls. And as always, folks, go Bison.